God has given to us. He lists them out in Leviticus 23. And so we're going to read this passage. We'll read it together. It's not that long. And we'll bring it up on the screen. And then again, open up. I would encourage you to open up your Bible. The only reason we'll bring it up on the screen because we have different versions. But we're going to read through it together. Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 14. Okay? So let's read this together. You ready? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits to your harvest to the priests. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord on the day after the Sabbath. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb a year old without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offering with its of an ephah, fine flour mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drinking offering with it shall be of wine, a fourth of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor grain, parched or fresh, Okay, very good. We're going to look at that in a little bit more detail. I need two people to help me. All you have to do is hold up a whiteboard. Like, it's not, like, this isn't rocket science, but I just can't hold up two things. Two people to come up here, and who would be willing to do that? And you don't even have to come up on this monster tall stage. Or you could all just stand here and look at me and, you know, all right. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Way to go. Bill Gatehouse, ladies and gentlemen. You want the hard one or the easy one? That's right. Well, so go ahead and hold that one. I need someone else to hold this one. Look at that, Pat. We got to watch Pat weeble up here because of his knee. Very good. All right, so here's what I want. Hold him up. So here's what I want you to do. These are the festivals that we've been talking about, Unleavened Bread, Passover, and First Fruits. These are the days that these festivals take place. Let's read them together. Now, the problem is, when you read through the Bible, a lot of times it doesn't put dates. And so you might be saying, well, why doesn't it put dates? Well, the calendar wasn't even created yet. So it's a little hard to put dates. And the other part is, God isn't as concerned about the date as he is about the event. God is more about the event, the thing that we're doing, not so much the give me the date. And there is a big difference in there, okay? So here's what I put these together, and this is really hard for me to see what I'm supposed to be doing because I haven't done it like this before. All right, can you hold it just a little bit higher? There you go. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take those, and again, when you think back to, we just celebrated Easter, which was basically a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is why we have this. Those were the festivals. What festival is on Friday? Passover. Now, it's kind of a trick question because, not a trick question. Their day started at sundown the night before. So even when I was writing this, I'm like, well, Passover was Thursday evening, but it went into Friday, okay? So I'm not sure. The Jewish people, they made it difficult for us. So anyway, but yes, Passover is Thursday night into Friday, okay? What festival is on Saturday or Sabbath? Unleavened bread, absolutely, which we did not get to that one. We're going to do that at the end of June, okay? What about on Sunday? What festival is on Sunday? First fruits. And what are we going to look at today? Man, you guys are tracking. Way to go. Thank you. That's it. See how easy that was? Give them a hand. So these three festivals are bing, 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 right in a row, okay? And so let me ask you a question. And again, this is 1,500 years before Jesus shows up. This is after the Exodus, okay? They came out of Egypt. And so let me ask you a question. Any significant event take place on Sunday or the third day? Wow. Maybe that has some bearing on what was going on with this festival. I don't want to say too much, but we'll see. Okay? So go back to Leviticus 23. Let's look here. And so this is the feast of first fruits. It's basically in the month of April. The dates change because it's, you know, it doesn't really matter why, but it's not the same, just like our Easter changes. Why does it change? Because it's, you can Google it and figure out why it changes. I'm not answering that, okay? So here they are, and so God gives them instruction about the festival of first fruits, okay? And so look what he says in verse 10, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land, okay? They didn't get into the promised land yet. They're in the wilderness. They're in desert. How much is growing in the desert? Not a whole lot. Okay, God's intention was not for them to be in the desert for 40 years, but change of plans. There was a change of plans, okay? If you're wondering what that's about, read the book of Numbers and you'll figure it out, okay? So he's saying, when you come into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that is generous, a land that is abundant, what does he say to do? When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priests. Okay? And so again, they were an agrarian society. They couldn't go to Giant Eagle to buy their pasta or their ice cream or whatever. If they wanted something, how did they get it? They planted it. They had to raise crops, okay? And so that was very much a part of what they were doing. And so what does he say here? This is the first fruit. So the first of the land that they would harvest. And what were they to do with it? The first fruit, they were supposed to take it where? Option one, eat it. Not first, not yet. What did they do first? They took it to the who? To the priest. To the priest. Why would they bring it to the priests? Because the priest was the divine representative. Because the priest was, or the truth was, you cannot approach a holy God alone. And that hasn't changed. We can't approach a holy God in and of ourselves because we're sinners. And so there's a connection here between harvest and approaching God. And so they were supposed to take their harvest and then go to the priests. And again, this isn't new. Listen, Genesis 3, verse 21. This isn't a new thing. Before the whole priest thing was all mapped out, look what it says in Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins, and he clothed them. Right after they sinned, it was the first death. God killed an animal to make skins, to cover them, because they could not approach a holy God without blood. It was from the very beginning. And that hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. We cannot approach God by ourselves. And so we see that in this. And so they were, you know, and I think the other thing you see here, the relationship between your work of harvesting and God. They're very connected. They're not disconnected. And so they were to bring them, they were to bring the sheaf to the priest. Now again, this is where we don't understand the seasons. And so what they were reaping here was barley. It was the barley was the first thing to be harvested in the spring. And so that's what they're talking about here. And so you were to bring the first of those, the sheaf, to the priest, and the priest would wave it. Go ahead, wave it. We don't have sheaves here, but you wave your hand. And so the question always is, why would they do that? Why would what's in waving? I mean, does anybody ask those questions? I ask those questions. Why wave it? So let's think about this. We all live in the Pittsburgh area here, right? There's a team down in Pittsburgh that plays football. What's their name? Pittsburgh Steelers. And so if you're at a Steelers game, any waving go on? Or what do they wave down there? Terrible towel, right? Why do they do that? I don't know. Someone started. I don't know. This isn't a history of that. All I'm trying to say is waving is a part of our culture, right? Waving is a part of our culture. We're Americans here, right? So what do we wave? We wave a flag at times. Yeah. 2 weeks ago was Palm Sunday. What did they wave on Palm Sunday as Jesus approached Jerusalem? Palms. So waving is something that is part of our culture. We do it. Down the street, you wave to someone, hi, how you doing? It's giving attention. And so what's the point here? Bring the sheaf to the priest, and the priest is waving it. We're going to get who's going to get the attention for this? God is. Because the festivals were about him. He is the provider. And basically, that's what this festival is saying. This festival is saying, thank you, God, for the harvest. You have provided for us. You've taken care of us. You've given us food to eat. And so that's what this whole festival is about. Now, it was more than that, as you see that there were sacrifices, and we're not going to go into the details of, but they, you know, it was more than just bringing the harvest. Again, I think this is another one that, why would they sacrifice a lamb? Why would they do this? Because again, you can't approach God without blood. You can't. He's a holy God. He's different than any human being. And you know, you get something off with a human being, you can humble yourself and well, they'll forgive you. But God's different. He can't just say, well, you're okay now. No. He's holy. He's different. He requires blood. And so our relationship with God is different. And so that's what he's laying out here. There's more details. Maybe next year we'll look at some of the other details of that. And so what would happen here? Here's kind of the tradition that would take place. And so, as we said, Passover is celebrated on after sundown on Thursday evening and into Friday. And so what would they do after the Passover meal? The next morning, if you had a barley field, what you would do is you would get a bunch of ribbons, and you would go out to your field, and you would tie a ribbon around each of the sheaf of barley that is ripe and ready to be harvested. You would mark it. You would mark it. And then the Sabbath would come, and you can't do any work on the Sabbath. But then the following day, on Sunday, you would go out through your field, and every stalk that is ready to be harvested, you would, and again, they weren't all ready at the same time. So you would the first fruit, the first ones that are ready, you would harvest some of them, all of them, all of the first fruit. And you would gather all of them, and then after you gather all of them, then you would take them to the priest, and that was the festival that would take place. It was the first fruit. It was the first fruit. Why on Sunday? This is on Sunday. Why the first day of the week? Well, what's the first day of the week is new beginnings, right? What else took place on the first day of the week? Resurrection, absolutely. We're going to get there. That's the analogy. But think back to the very beginning of time. What took place on the first day of the creation, right? God spoke and things were made. And so that's what's kind of going on here. It's a new beginning. It's newness. It's very interesting that this festival today, by traditional Jews, you know, non-messianic, you can whatever they have different names for the different levels, but for the most part, this festival, it's not practiced. They don't practice it. It's not even part of their. And we're going to see why they don't practice it. Because of what it points to. What does the festival of first fruits point to? And so the question becomes, how does first fruits point to Jesus Christ? Thank you for asking. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to see this. If you guys are warm, feel free to open windows if you want to. You don't have to, but you're allowed to. So, 1 Corinthians 15. Look in verse 20, and basically, 1 Corinthians 15 is probably the chapter in all the Bible that's talking about what subject, what topic? Resurrection, okay? So if you want to learn about resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 is the one you go to. Where did Jesus talk about resurrection the most? When he raised Lazarus. Anybody know where that's at? The shortest verse in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. We know. Where is it found? John 11, very good, okay? So just those two places. So 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 20. Here's what he says. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is the first fruit. And so Paul is making a connection here to Jesus rising from the dead, being resurrected to this festival of first fruit. That's what it was going on all along. That's why they did it on Sunday. It was pointing to Jesus was going to rise again. He is the first fruit. Look over in verse 35 and 36 and 37. Here he gives a little bit of, again, breaking it down for us to put it that even a child can understand. But look what he says. But someone, verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body, and he has chosen, and each kind of seed is its own body. And so God gives things in creation to help us understand what resurrection is. And so we have here some little plants. At some point, Leah stuck some seeds in the ground. And a week went by and nothing happened. And I don't know how long, but we can keep going. But at some point, what happened? The seed died and a new plant came out. And so what Paul is saying, what you're looking at right now, this is an illustration of resurrection. Of resurrection. Because the seed died, and because it died, now it can reproduce into a new plant. That's the point that he's making here. So, over the next couple weeks, when you're driving by a cornfield, or a wheat field, or a soybean field, or whatever you're driving by, what do you need to be thinking about? Yeah, deer are going to come in and eat it. I get that. But what do you really need to be thinking about? It's resurrection. It's a field full of resurrection. They're illustrations of resurrection because nothing grows unless it dies. The seed has to die. And so the spiritual reality is the same. There is no forgiveness of sins without death. That's why Jesus had to die. Look back in 1 Corinthians 15. He describes this very well. Verse 21, "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead." He breaks it down. Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the firstfruit then, at his coming, who belongs to Christ." And so what is he saying here? Adam gives death. One person created death for all of humanity. But the blessing is Jesus Christ, the second Adam, is one person, fully God, fully man, and he offers eternal life. Only through him. There's no other option. There's no other option. Because he's the only one who died, was buried, and rose again. He's victorious. And so that's the whole point of what he's saying. Turn back to John chapter 5. We'll look at real quick one other passage here. This is Jesus. Jesus is describing us a little different way than what Paul does. John 5. Let me just read. I'll read a couple of verses ahead, but we'll get to the starting in verse 25. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, it is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." And here it is, verse 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." And that doesn't mean that you're saved because of your good works or your bad, because the whole context of John is not that. Life comes through faith in Christ. And so what he's saying here, he's drawing that analogy that God wants us to have eternal life with him, a resurrection. This isn't it. There is more to come. So in Colossians 1:18, he uses the phrase, "Jesus is the firstborn from the dead." It's a description of Jesus Christ. And so what do we see here? We see here that the festival of first fruits is about thanksgiving. And so that's why we want to spend a few minutes and to give you the opportunity to thank the Lord. To say, you know what? Kind of have a phrase up here that Lord God, I thank you for, it's coming up. We have two mics here that we want to just give you the opportunity for you, for us as a body. You know, what sets us apart is that we continually have a heart of thankfulness because of all that God has given to us, what he's done for us. And so we want to invite you to do that. As you're thinking, let me read this psalm, Psalm 100. Just listen. Listen to it as, and you can be thinking and make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, for he has made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generation. And so we just want to simply give you the opportunity to come forward and say one sentence. Here's how I want to thank God, what I want to thank him for publicly. There's a microphone back there. I think you might need to turn it on. Rudy, if you can turn it on. turned on. Great.
Lord God, I thank you for being a sheep in your pasture and for you being a good shepherd.
Father, I want to thank you for being a part of a family, of a God-fearing, Jesus-believing, Bible-reading family of believers. I'm so grateful to you, Lord, for being a part of that.
Anyone else?
Thank you for the beauty that's all around us, Lord. Mm-hmm.
worship team can come on up here and give you one last 30 seconds.
I just thank God that while I was dead in my trespasses, He died to save me.